Thank you, ladies. I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus, chapter 33, for the message tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I'd like to go back and read the whole 32nd chapter, but I'll just summarize it for you in about a paragraph. And I'd like to read the whole 33rd chapter, but I'll just read down to verse 15. You follow along in your Bible, please. Exodus 33, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Can you imagine this, folks? Are you getting the gravity of this? As a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he, the Lord, said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, he, Moses, said unto him, the Lord, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. If you're not careful, you'll read this passage of Scripture and really not fully grasp all the ramifications of what is being said. I want to speak to you tonight primarily from the 15th verse. And I'm going to entitle my message tonight, He Has to Go With Us. He Has to Go With Us. Let's pray together. Now, our Father, I feel like taking my shoes off, that we're on holy ground when we read this passage of Scripture. And Lord, just to hear the faith of this man Moses, and to see him standing face to face and pleading on behalf of the people is a blessing to to my heart. Father, I pray that you will help me tonight to be able to adequately convey what transpired in this passage of Scripture. And help us to see this great man and how you used him and what was the burden of his heart. And Lord, as we learn from this 15th verse, he just wanted you to be with him. Father, he wanted you by his side. He wanted you in the camp. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will feel that way about our church. I pray that every one of us will feel that about our families. I pray that every one of us will feel that about our individual lives. And Lord, we've just got to have you go with us. So Lord, burden our hearts in that area tonight. Fill me with your Spirit now and help me as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about what a great period and what a great event it was when God called 3 million slaves out of Egypt, led them out with a strong arm and an uplifted hand, and under the leadership of Moses, formed a nation that we know as the nation of Israel. It is one of the most remarkable events in human history. The exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. God taking this little band of slaves out of Egypt, safely crossing them through the Red Sea, and eventually bringing them into the land that would bring our Savior into this world. With all the excitement that was generated in the election in Iraq a couple of weeks ago, where the seeds of democracy were sown and the Iraqi people were filled with elation and excitement, I think we can imagine that same kind of thrill and excitement was in the hearts of Abraham's seed as they watched God lead use their chosen leader Moses, to organize and establish the nation promised by God many, many years earlier to Abraham. Now, the occasion of my text is something that I need to call to your attention. We need to go back into the 32nd chapter for just a moment and let me review with you the events there. Chapter 32 takes place about 3 months after the children of Israel have passed through the Red Sea. But God brought them into what is called in the Bible the wilderness of Sinai. And God stopped them there in that wilderness to rest. It's been about 3 months. And now they stopped and pitched their tents at the base of Mount Sinai. God then wants to do something special. So while they're at the base of the mountain, God calls Moses to the top of the mountain, brings him up to the summit. And there, Moses saw and heard things that made everything else that he had ever heard or experienced in his life seem as nothing. The pomp and splendor that he enjoyed in Pharaoh's court was nothing compared to the mountaintop experience where he saw the glory of the Lord and spent 40 days with God while God was giving him the law. Over the next several weeks and months, Moses would go down the mountain and then he would come back up again and spend time with the people and then go spend more time with God. And after his last trip to the summit, God told him he needed to go back down, that there was trouble brewing in the camp. And he went down the mountain carrying the Ten Commandments on 2 tablets of stone. And when he got down to the camp, he noticed that the children of Israel had built an idol, a false god, a golden calf, and were dancing and celebrating around this golden calf. And Moses, in his anger, took the tablets, held them up over his head, rebuked the children of Israel, and threw them at the golden calf, smashing the stones into the tablets into small stones. To make the point that the people had broken just about every commandment that God had written on those tablets of stone. Then Moses went back up to see
what God was going to do and what He would do next. And that brings us to the 33rd chapter. And if you'll notice, in verse 2, we have an interesting, verse 2 and 3, we have an interesting couple of verses. In chapter 33, God tells Moses that He was not going to travel in their midst. Now, you got to remember that up to this point, from the time they left Egypt and got to where they were at the base of Sinai, God had always led and directed. God's presence was there in the camp. He went before them by day as a pillar of cloud, and He went before them by night as a pillar of fire. When the cloud moved, God was moving, and the children of Israel followed suit. When the cloud stopped, they stopped, and God was in their midst. But when they got to Sinai, God went up on the mountain, called Moses to Himself, and that's when the people went into sin. And so now, here's God telling Moses in verse 2, I will send an angel. He said, you go ahead, verse 1, and depart from here, and you go to the land that I have promised you. But in verse 2, He said, I will send an angel before thee. And I'll use this angel to drive out the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, and I will lead you through this angel to a land that flows with milk and honey. Now look at verse 3. He said, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. Now that's where God had been previous. But He said, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. You see, God was angry in a righteous way because of the golden calf incident. God was ready for judgment, and He said, if I go down into the camp like I have before, I'm fearful of what my judgment is going to do, so I'm going to send an angel and let that angel go before you and lead you to the land. Now, the story doesn't end there. You look at verse 7, Moses came down and he took the tabernacle that God had designed for him. He took the tabernacle and he went outside the camp away from the people and he set the tabernacle up. Once he was inside, the people stood in their doors of their tents and they looked out and they watched and they saw the cloud come and hover over the tabernacle, and Moses was talking and fellowshipping and praying and dealing with God. And the people were scared to death. They did not know what was going to happen. They knew that God was upset with them. And here's poor old Moses. He is just absolutely devastated by the news. He is devastated by the report that God had given. And he's basically carrying on a conversation with God. In verse 10, the Bible says the people saw the cloud. They knew what was going on. And in verse 11, Moses and the Lord were speaking face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. And then in verse 12, Moses speaks up and he starts debating and he starts interceding on behalf of the people. Now, I'm going to summarize this for you, but I want you to look at your Bible, look at the verse, and I'm going to summarize this for you so that you can see what Moses is saying. Moses says, Lord, you say you're going to bring this people up, but you have not let me know who you're going to use, who you're going to send with me. You said you're going to send an angel, but I don't know this angel. I don't know this angel. Yet you say you know me, and I found grace in your sight. Well, if that's the case, verse 13, if I have found grace in your sight, then show me right now thy way so that I can know you and so that I can find grace in your sight. What he's doing here is he's arguing with the Lord. And he said, look, Lord, you know, you and I have been through an awful lot. We've been through some stuff. And I know you. I don't know this angel that you're talking about using. I don't know who this angel is, but I know you. And Lord, I would just as soon you not send that angel. I would just as soon you come with us. That's what he's saying in verse 13. I'm not real sure about this angel, but I do know you. And in verse 14, God said, well, all right, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And then Moses chimes in, and he says, well, Lord, let me just say it to you this way. I'm glad you're going to do that, but let me say it to you this way. If you don't go with us, you just might as well leave us here, because we're not going anywhere without you. Do you see the point? Moses understood he has to go with us. Now, I just have 2 points to my sermon tonight, but don't find too much comfort in that statement. I've got 2 points. Number one, I want us to look for a few moments here. I want us to look at why Moses said such a thing. And how did he come to the resolution he offered God? And then if we have time, we'll look at the definiteness of his decision. But first of all, let's look at the reason for Moses' decision. He realized that he and the people of Israel needed the Lord's presence. He simply did not want to go on if God was not going to go with him. Now, there are 4 things that I think are the basis for the decision, for the reason that Moses made this decision. 4 reasons. Let me give them to you. First of all, number one, he realized the presence of God met the people's needs. He realized that the presence of God met the people's needs. You say, well, I wonder how he came to that understanding. Don't forget, folks, God and Moses went through a lot of things together. Don't forget, let's go back in Moses' life for a moment and see if we can see what he learned that would bring him to the place where he would make a statement like this. You see, because of several glorious, phenomenal, remarkable things that Moses saw God do, he just knew that they could not go into the land unless God went with them. Moses and God had too much history together. Moses, listen, that man was merely God's spokesman. He knew that it was God that did all those mighty things in order to establish their freedom from the Egyptians. And Moses is basically saying, we will not go forward on any conditions other than how it has been in the past. Now, what had Moses seen in God that made him realize that if God did not go with them, they simply couldn't go on? What did Moses discover about God? What had he learned about God? Well, first of all, he learned that God was a God of law. You see, just a couple of chapters back, within recent memory of Moses, he and God had been on that mountain together, and God gave him every minute detail of the law that he expected his people to follow. Moses knew that he was dealing with a nation of sinners. He knew that the people he led needed the law. And in the preceding months, God had been revealing that law unto Moses on the top of that mountain. And folks, it was divine law, coming from one who knew the whole need of these people better than anyone, and it was perfectly adjusted to meet their needs. I want you to think about these Hebrew children under Moses' command. Folks, they have just spent 200 years in brutal slavery. 200 years in brutal slavery. They are semi-barbarous. I mean, these people are just, many of them are just heathens. They're just heathens, plain and simple. The Egyptian set of gods had rubbed off on many of them. They were just tainted and stained by all those years of living life in that heathen land of Egypt. And so, suddenly, here they are now led out of slavery and given their freedom. Is there any more, is there a more perilous situation than this? I mean, the truth is, folks, they need law so they don't run to excess with their new freedom. Do we understand that as Christians, we have to have some sort of standard, some sort of law? Do we understand I mean, I think we do here in America. But folks, let me tell you something. If you don't have rules, if you don't have laws, if you don't have boundaries, then you just mark it down, you're going to have anarchy in your country. You've got to have laws. And so the first thing that Moses learned was that God was a God of law, because God had just given him that law. You think about your babies for just a minute, when they were babies or if they are now. First, they had a crib. And then they moved from a crib. They stayed in that crib. If they didn't stay in that crib, you had problems, didn't you? Then they moved out of that crib, and you put them in a playpen. And as long as they stayed in that playpen, everything was fine. Then they continued to grow, and they had the run of the house. And then one day they said, "Can I play in the yard?" And you said, "Yes, but you better stay inside the fence." And then one day they came to you as they grew older, and they said, "Can I go over to Bobby's house?" And you said, "You can go but to Bobby's, but you better not go anywhere else." And listen, as long as your children stayed in the boundary, as long as they stayed within the guidelines, as long as they stayed within the rules, everything was fine and they had their freedom. But when they got outside the boundary, that's when the freedoms were taken away, is it not? And so, folks, that's exactly the way it is in the Christian life. As long as you stay within the boundaries of the law of God, the Word of God, as long as you stay in the boundaries, you have freedom to live for God, and you have God's hand of blessing upon you. But when you get outside those boundaries, that is where you lose your freedom. The devil then binds you and blinds you and holds you and grips you and keeps you in his clutches when you get outside of the boundaries. Folks, this book is God's boundary line. It's God's boundary line. And Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go with us, just leave us here. Because good night, we have to have you, and we have to have your boundaries, we have to have your law, we have to have you going before us, because if we don't, I know our people, I know our hearts, if you don't go with us and keep us in the boundary, we're going to get outside that boundary, and when we get outside that boundary, our freedom is gone." Moses understood that about God. Does that make sense to you? All right, second thing, not only did he learn that God was a God of law, but the second reason he spoke this, Moses knew God was a God of order. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" Well, if you remember, on one of those trips up on Sinai, God told him, "Now, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle." And God said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in that tabernacle, and I will lead you from that tabernacle and bless you from that tabernacle." And Moses said, "Well, Lord, how do I build it?" And I believe that God pulled back the veil and allowed him to look into heaven and said, "Look here, Moses, here is the tabernacle in heaven. I want you to build me one just like this on the earth." How else could God, or could Moses, have known how to build that tabernacle unless God had showed it to him personally? And God, I believe God did. God showed him every square inch of that tabernacle. He showed him the dimensions. He showed him the colors. He showed him the types of cloth and skins that were to be used. He showed him the poles and the rings and that held the curtains. And he showed him where every piece of furniture went. He showed him where every curtain was to be hung. I mean, everything, every little item in that tabernacle was given to order. And I think that Moses had to stand there impressed with the order and the attention that God put into making sure that Moses understood that the tabernacle was important, because it was where God would be in the midst of his people. And so he knew that God was a God of order. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Lord, there's 3 million of us out here. My soul, if you don't come and go with us, we're in trouble. God, you've got to go so you keep order in the camp. Lord, what are we going to do when somebody rebels? What are we going to do when somebody stands up against my leadership? Lord, you've got to go. Lord, I remember when the sea was parted and Pharaoh's army was about ready to overtake us. Father, I remember that the cloud came up over And it got between our people and the Egyptian army. And God, I remember that you stared at Pharaoh. And you stared at him to where he was shaken in his knees. Father, I remember that. You established order that day when it looked like there was going to be nothing but chaos. And God, you've got to go with us. Because if you don't go, you just might as well leave us here because we don't want to go either. He learned that God was a God of order. Thirdly, he knew that God was a God of gifts. You see, when he was up on that mountain, you remember, and Moses heard all that God wanted him to do with that tabernacle, and after he had given him all the specs, Moses probably was standing there thinking, good night, I'm a preacher, I don't know anything about tools. That's probably what he was thinking. My dad said, you do know what a screwdriver is. I said, yes. I just don't know how to use one. But I do know what a screwdriver is. Every time I use a hammer, I hit the wrong nail. I am technically challenged. Terrible. And I'm sure that Moses stood there after he looked at that tabernacle and saw all of its dimensions and all of its curtains and all of its furniture and God had told him to build it. Couldn't go down to Lowe's and pick one out. And Moses probably standing there thinking, I don't know how to do all this stuff. But you go back and read it, folks. God then stepped in and said, Moses, listen, here's what I've done. I've called a man. His name is Bezalel. He's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. You say, well, Pastor, why did God do that? God did that, the verse continues, to devise cunning works, to work in the gold and silver and brass and the cutting of stones for setting and in carving wood. In other words, folks, Moses learned, as God revealed it to him, Moses learned that God could and God would gift people to do the necessary task to accomplish the purpose of God among the people. He had therefore learned that he needed the Lord so that they could get the things done the way God wanted them done. He learned that God was a God of gifts. Number four. He knew from experience that God was a God of love. Now, you don't have to go very far to see this one. All you have to do is go back to verse 3 of the 33rd chapter. And in this third verse, Moses heard God say that he was going to send an angel to usher them to the land of promise because he was angry with Israel because of their sin. And in that third verse, the last part, God said, I will not go up in the midst of thee, lest I consume thee by the way. The inspiration of anger was the tenderness of God's love expressed to Moses. God loved Israel. He didn't want to send his wrath and judgment. He didn't want to destroy Israel. So he said, it's probably best if I just stay out here, because I know if I go down in the camp, there's going to be some problems. And so Moses learned. He came into the presence of God knowing that if God remained in the midst of his people to direct and control and suggest, he knew that all of their needs would be met. But he was also convinced that if God did not go with them, they'd soon be a needy people. Now, that's the reason that Moses stood face to face and talked with God. But now, let's make the application number two. The second thing. Let's look at the definiteness of Moses' decision. I wish I had about an hour just to talk about this tonight, but I don't. I want you to think, folks, of all the wonderful things that Moses experienced with God. You say, boy, old Moses, he was awful definite here. Man, he just stood toe-to-toe with God, didn't he? Yes, he did. But think about the history, folks. He knew who he was talking to. He knew who he was talking to. I want you to think of all these wonderful things. Let's go back to another instance. When they left Egypt, God went before them as this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And when they got to the Red Sea and they couldn't go any further, They had the mountains to one side. They had the desert to the other side. And they couldn't go back, for Pharaoh's army was pursuing with a vengeance. And Moses stopped at the water's edge. And he said, okay, God, now what? And God said, Moses, you just take your staff and you place it in the water. And he didn't even think twice about it. He took his shepherd's staff and he dropped it down into that water. And when he did, the waters parted. And they stood there watching with their literal eyes as the winds came up and blew a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on this side. And when they looked down from their amazement at seeing the walls of water piled up, when they looked down into the seabed, they saw that it was dry ground. And they walked across. I'm saying, folks, Moses knew what God could do. Moses was there when he first went in and said, let my people go. And he watched as God single-handedly dismantled every false deity of Egypt. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, folks. It's a Bible study that will blow you out of the water when you do it. You go back and read and study the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt. And every one of those plagues was a blast against the deities of Egypt. And God destroyed them all right before their eyes. Now watch this. God said to people of sin, and I'm not going to go with you, but I'll send an angel to lead you. And Moses said, well, then I can tell you right now, if you're not going with us, we're not going either. Is that bold or what? Is that bold or what? Moses said, Lord, I don't know this angel you're talking about, but I do know you. I've seen your mighty hand, and I know what you can do. And through all these mighty things that I've seen you do, I know you can handle anything that we have to face. And I'm not sure about this angel you're talking about, but I am sure about you. The point is, folks, and here's the application, Moses never even thought about going on unless God went with them. He never even considered it. He had made up his mind, I believe, and he said, Lord, you either go with us or we're staying right here. We are not going to go if you don't go with us. And the point is, folks, that should be the attitude of every one of us. It should be the attitude of every one of us as a church. Lord, if you're not going to be in the midst of the candlestick that we have here called the Church of the Open Door, then we would just as soon not go on. Folks, if God's not going to meet with us, we're wasting our time. And I don't want us to do anything that's going to remove the cloud over this church. I mean, we're going to keep the soul winning going, going to keep the bus ministry going to keep the King James Bible going. We're just going to stay with what has brought us where we are today. And if it ever gets to the place where God is not over the church and where God is not with us, where we don't enjoy His blessings, we might as well just put Ichabod on the door and all go watch the Super Bowl like the rest of the world. Should not this be the attitude of every mom and dad? Lord, if you're not going to bless and guide our family, then we're just going to shut her down right here. We'll just sit right here until you show up. That ought to be the burden of every mom and dad. Should not this be the attitude of every Christian? I mean, I'm just simply saying you can trust God to do the right thing for us. He has always done the right thing, and He will continue to do the right thing. He did the right thing with Moses. He did the right thing with the children of Israel. And Moses said, Lord, I don't know about anybody else that can lead us, but I do know you can lead us. You and I have history. I know what you've done. I've seen your hand at work, and church, so have we. We've seen what God can do. Let's don't go another direction. His law will keep us free when it's obeyed. He will give order to our lives. He will give us the gifts that we need to get the job done. He will, we will never have to fear that we are outside His great love. Oh, thank God that we have a history with God as well. Thank God that we know His Word, and His Word has always been held up and preached and believed in and stood upon. And we're not changing that right now. Forever. You'll give order to our lives. Man, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things, folks. Amen. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. We're going to stick with the right way. He'll give us gifts, people that can get the job done. Josh standing up here talking about Bob driving the bus. Thank God for people that'll do stuff like that. He's not old enough to drive the bus. Yeah, you are now, aren't you? I think he is now. When I hired him as youth pastor, he wasn't old enough to drive a church van. He's looking at me, isn't he? Oh, he's looking down? Thank God for people that do the work. Thank God for the soul winners. Thank God for the choir members. Thank God for the orchestra people. Thank God for the people that give of their time and come up here and play these instruments for us. Thank God for that. Thank God for the guys in the sound booth. Mark and Rick and all those guys that work in that sound booth back there. Thank God for all of it. Thank God for the folks that go downstairs and help folks get ready for baptism. Thank God for Gary Clark and Mark Lopez and Linda Martin and all those folks that come in here and clean this building. Thank God for that. Folks, listen. God will gift people and He'll send them our way. I tell you, when you have a church member that's doing all this stuff and they move away, you can't leave. You can't leave. Let your husband go, now you stay here and sing. But you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, you get bus workers and they're just doing great guns, and he comes and says, Pastor, we got to move. Oh, well, send your kids down. You stay here and work the bus. Now you can't do that. And every time that one is taken away, the Lord just sends somebody to take their place. He gifts people. Thank God. And that we'll never have to fear, folks, if we're following the Word, and if we're following the orders, and if we're using our gifts, we'll never have to fear that we'll be outside of His great love. Oh, that every believer would just say, as did Moses, if thy presence go not with us, let us just stay here. Folks, listen, walk with God. That's what I'm saying. That's what Moses did. And that's how you can have this relationship with God. Just walk with God. Trust Him. Serve Him. Realize that in this thing called life, we need the Lord every hour of every day. He never failed Moses one time, and He will not fail a single one of us. Don't follow yourself. Follow the Lord. Don't follow me. Follow the Lord. Realize that your need for trusting and following is in God. It's not in me. It's in God. Oh, I know there's a lot of demands on your time. But listen, Christian, it's still in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just seek the Lord first. I guarantee you, you put God first and you'll find the time to do the things that you need to do. But put the Lord first in your life. That's what old Moses did. And boy, when he heard, can you imagine? What if God came to you and God said, I'm gonna go off here and stand. I'm gonna be over here. Now, if you really need me, just holler real loud. I'll be over there. I don't want to stand. I don't want to dwell here because you're doing some dumb things. It makes me mad. I'm gonna go over here. Would you have enough spiritual, intestinal fortitude? Would you have enough intestinal fortitude, spiritual intestinal fortitude, stand up and say, wait a minute, you're leaving? By the way, you got a promise that He'll never do that. But in the New Testament, but you're leaving? Would you say, Lord, you can't leave me. Lord, I can't go on if I don't have you. Why? Lord, I've seen what you've guided and directed. You've protected me. You've preserved me. You've put your hand on me. Lord, I know what you can do. You can't leave me. But folks, that ought to be the heart attitude of every person in this room. I am not going to go on unless you go with me. You've just got to go, Lord.
And that ought to be the heart attitude of every single person in this room tonight. I've got to have God going with me. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Father, I pray now you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, do what only you can do tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around, please. How many Christians here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart? You know, I need the Lord. I just need the Lord. You know, I sometimes wonder, has the Lord kind of wandered away from me because I'm not living for Him like I should? And maybe that's why I'm in the jams I'm in. Maybe that's why I'm having the problems that I'm having. But Pastor, God showed me tonight. The Word of God is spoken to my heart. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me. And I realize if I don't have God with me, I'm just going to stay here. Pastor, I want you to pray for me tonight. God's dealing with my heart. I need to get that fire back in my bones again. I need to get that fire burning in my soul. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let's pray about this together tonight? All over the building, raise your hand. Yes, God bless you, folks. Yes, many hands. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Thank you. Folks, it's so important that God go with us. It's so important. So important. Do you know in order for God to go with us, we got to go with Him. What's your Bible say? Draw nigh unto God. That you see, the heavy is on you. You draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. And I don't know about you, Christian, but I want the Lord's blessing. I want His power. I want His hand. I want His Holy Spirit to empower and use me. And that ought to be the burden of every person in this room tonight that knows Christ. Would you let God do something for you tonight, Christian? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you stand to your feet, please? Father in heaven, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you will help all of us to see the truth that we've preached tonight. And Lord, may we take this truth now and apply it and use it in our lives. Lord, it's one thing to hear it with our ears, but Lord, help us to hear it with our hearts. And Father, I want to pray for these Christians that raise their hand tonight. Lord, they want you to go with them. They want you to lead and guide in their lives. But Lord, help us to realize that it begins with us. If we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. Lord, you're just waiting for an invitation to come on board. So Father, I pray that this altar will be filled tonight. I pray every person that raised their hand will walk down to this altar and get on their knees before you. And Lord, just pray and rededicate and get things where they ought to be. Lord, have your way in our midst here this evening in Jesus' name.